Coming to you live, the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. Here's your host, Randy Bergen, with Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lasseter.
That would be the Doobie Brothers. Without love, where would we be now? Thank you, Jesus, for love. All right, welcome back to the second hour of the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. And no, this is not Randy Bergen. He's on probably about hole number four right now. And we're coming to you live from Glen Lakes Golf Course over here in Foley, from our Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai studios. Appreciate you being with us. And, boy, we have had a great week of state champions. And I think a coach who will be a state champion in his future, I really do. I think this guy is one of the great innovators offensively and is just a tremendous leader of young men. We're going to bring in David Faulkner, the head football coach at McGill-Toulon in Mobile, Alabama. David's brought to you by our good friends at Will Too, and we appreciate everything that those folks at Will Too do for us here at PSR. Good morning, Coach. How you doing, pal?
Good morning. Thank you for the kind words. I'm doing well. I'm doing well.
Well, I mean that. I really do mean that, David. I think that you are made of the things that we need coaches to be made of. And your leadership ability and the way you relate to young people is outstanding. And it's just not coming from me. It's coming from people that have known you for a long, long time. And, you know, your foundation is solid. And we appreciate what you do at McGill. Talk just a little bit about the season. Let's talk just a little bit from the time you got there to the end of the last game and talk about the things that you feel like you guys accomplished and what do you think's on the horizon for you guys.
You know, they say when you get older, the days get longer and the years get shorter. And I think that probably sums it up. We you know, we had some long days, but it seemed like the year went by really fast. You know, and we got there in February and started trying to lay a foundation for what we wanted the program to look moving forward. And the kids and our coaching staff just really jumped in with both feet and went to work. And I thought we made a lot of progress throughout the season. Obviously, we're not where we want to be yet. But I was proud of our kids and our coaching staff and all the people in our community at McGill that just come in and were very supportive and supportive of myself and our guys. And we had some ups and downs. You know, we started with two losses and didn't play really well in the first game. And then you kind of find out, well, that team's a pretty good team. They just won a state championship a couple of days ago.
And then, they sure did.
And then, you know, and then had a hard-fought battle with St. Paul's and Ham and them do an outstanding job. And they're a very similar situation with us and lost a close game there. And a game you feel like if you played a little better, you could have won. But I saw the progress that we had made from week one to two and was really optimistic about our club moving forward. Then we reeled off four wins in a row. And then we hit that murderer's row stretch there with Spanish Fort and Theodore and finished up with Sarah Land and was able to get a win in there in between those games. But, you know, we just found out that, you know, right now we're not where we need to beat those upper-level programs in our region, and it is a really competitive and good region. But I thought our kids sitting there and fought and did their best. We had some injuries defensively, so we – down the last 4 weeks of the year, we were starting 7 and 8 sophomores on defense. So, that's going to be a good group. And that in the long run, you know, it didn't pay off immediately for us there, but in the long run, I think that's going to be a positive for us heading into this fall. And just really excited about where we're at McGill-Toulon and in the direction that we're moving in.
Well, the teams you lost to, Coach, I mean, I've been looking at the things, and they were like, I've looked at four or five of them. It's like 40 and 12, and they were really good. One's a state champion. But I'm just telling you, you played a really, really good schedule, and you're putting your touches into your program, what your philosophy is. Now as you get into the wintertime, what goes on in the wintertime? And there's a lot of things going on. There's, you know, Thanksgiving. I've already had a break for Thanksgiving. You got Christmas break coming up. You got Mardi Gras in February. A lot of things going on, but what will y'all do? What is the emphasis between now and spring training?
So after the Saraland game, we came in the next week and we started end-of-year interviews. So I sat down and talked to every kid in the program and had a meeting with them, and then also did the same thing with our coaches, had individual meetings with them, and just kind of gave some feedback to them on what I thought last year looked like for them, and then some of the goals and the progress they need to make moving forward. And then as I get older, I get better at this, but I took some feedback and was like, hey, what could you tell me, or what would you tell me that would help our program get better? And the things that I heard consistently, you know, we went in and met with as a staff, and we've tried to change that or implement that or try to tweak it to fit that, you know, because you always got to – you have a way of doing things, but you don't want to be so set in them that you can't change for the better. So that was kind of the purpose behind that. And then the next week after that, we started off-season program. We've been in that weight room, and Jake Johnson does our off-season program. He sets that up, and he and I sit down as our strength coach, and I said, hey, I know there's a bunch of science to this, but I'm an old dog, and I really don't care about the science. I just want to be hard. So we put together a hard off-season and really have challenged the kids, and I couldn't be more pleased at this point with their response. I think it's a hungry bunch that wants to do better, that understands what we expect at McGill, and I think they're going to do everything they can to live up to those expectations.
You know, and we're talking to David Faulkner, the head football coach at McGill. David, I think you played high school football for one of the best football coaches of his day, and I really mean that. I mean it because he's innovative. Joel does things kind of outside the boundary sometimes of what normal coaches might be thinking. But I think that's carried over to your philosophies. Talk just a little bit about the impetus that Joel Williams played in your coaching career, because I want people to understand the relationship between the coaches that we have today and the coaches that they played for when they were young, because I think he had a great influence on you.
Oh, without a doubt. When I look back at where I am as a coach and who I am as a man, Joel Williams had a great influence in that. And people talk about no huddle and all that other stuff. I played in no huddle in 1988.
Yeah.
And 80, right. I've never been in a huddle. I wouldn't even know how to like put who where. So,
wait a minute now. Lassiter had to get in the huddle. Now you had to be in a huddle.
No, we didn't huddle with Mark either. I think by the time he got there to us, he gave up on the huddle himself. So,
you must have convinced him then. Love that.
I don't know. But, you know, and so. And then Joel, like you said, Joel was ahead of his time. I mean, he really was.
Yeah.
And he really, we were triple option when I played for him. But over his career, I think he's always, and I still have some triple option concepts in what we do.
Yeah.
And I think he's always stayed true to that. But man, he just evolved as a coach, and I was really lucky to have a relationship with him and him to share those things with me. And you know, he went to work for probably one of the best football coaches that nobody talks about, in Chan Gailey. And I think he really evolved in the throw game there with Chan, and he shared that with me and taught me how to teach the passing game, and he taught me how to teach the quarterback, and I think that's been really key to the offenses that we've had. And I'm not trying to brag, but that influence, everywhere I've ever called offenses, we hold the scoring record at that school. Now, it might have been but when we left,
I'm glad you're home. I'm glad you're in our midst. I mean that. I'm happy for the kids at McGill-Tulin. And look, sometimes don't block that defensive tackle. Read him and see what happens. I love that.
Never know.
Hey, Dave.
Thank you, Dave.
Thanks, pal. Take care.
Happy holidays, buddy.
Thank you.
We'll see you soon. Bye-bye.
Yes, sir. Merry Christmas.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Call or text the Prep Sports Report at 251-343-0106 on the Pops Market communication lines. Now, back to the show.
All right, welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. We're coming to you live from Glen Lakes Golf Course in the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. And, man, you know, Mark, we both had our vehicles with Chris Garris and Tyler over at Premier Collision. And when you're talking about these folks, these are the things you hear. Fantastic service, high-quality work, looks fresh off the showroom. Another customer, highly recommend. They always take great care of me and the people I send. And finally, from another customer, excellent customer service and quality. And the work was great. You know, Premier Collision is located at 1177 Sledge Drive. You can contact them Monday through Friday at 251-478-4500. And when you get your car back after you've had a little fender bender or you've had a major collision, you're going to be amazed. And, Mark, I can't wait until this coming week when you get your vehicle back. You're going to call me as soon as you get it because it's, it's just exciting to know that you got quality people that do quality work and they don't rush you. I mean, they don't. They give you the opportunity to tell them what you want and then they take care of it. And it's just great working with people like that.
I just love the fact that they communicate with you.
They do.
And let you know, you know, Crystal, he texts me, he calls me, tells me this is what we're doing. It's taking a little longer than I thought, or we're going to be done a little faster than I thought. Whatever it is,
yep.
He lets me know what's going on. So it's not like, well, my car is just off in collision land somewhere. Don't know what's going to happen to it. I know what's going on. I know what they're doing to it. And I know that they're going to do it a 100% professional job.
And, boy, we appreciate them. They do so much for high school sports too. And a lot of businesses do, but these guys do it, and nobody knows it.
Right.
Nobody knows what they do, and we appreciate them so, so very much. That's Chris Garris at Premier Collision, 1177 Sledge Drive, in their second location. Brand-new location over to 1 Schillinger. And give Tyler a call there at 251-478-4500, and get your vehicle there. And I promise you they will take great care of you. Seven state champions. You're going to have the opportunity to speak with an old friend of yours, Paul Benefield at Fife, who's Fife Red Devils defeated Real Town 43-24. And I think it's their seventh state championship.
I think that's right.
I don't think that's in a row, but it's their seventh. I do know that. And really, Paul wasn't thinking this was going to be a year that they competed. They thought, you know, they may be 7-3 or 8-2 maybe and win a game or two in the playoffs. And that wasn't the case. Those guys walked through it and did a great job, and they'll be even better next year,
I think,
because they got so many young people. But, Mark, we got Leroy in 1A. We got Fife in 2A. We got Mobile Christian in 3A. In 4A, we got Montgomery Catholic. In 5A, Gulf Shores. 6A, Clay Chalkville. 7A, Central of Phoenix City. And I thought all of the games, with the exception of the Montgomery Catholic game, were exceptional.
Yeah, they did.
And they were well officiated and just really, really good games. And, you know, again, we have to say what a great job Chan Lowe did for the Leroy Bears, taking over for Jason Massey, who was deployed after the first fourth week of the season. Chan comes in as the defensive coordinator, takes over play calling duties.
Yeah.
You know all about that.
I mean, it's a whole different game. But the thing about it is, though, if it happens in the middle of your season,
yeah,
he already has to know that offense inside and out.
Right.
So as a staff at Leroy, what I think that tells us is that the head coach does a really good job of making sure all of his guys understands what everybody else is doing.
Yeah.
So they can help in any phase of the game if they need to be. Like if you're in a ball game and you and I are coaching the game and you're coaching the O-line and I've coached the secondary.
Right.
But all of a sudden I see something that we're doing that you haven't seen yet
right.
for whatever reason.
Yep.
And say, Coach, so-and-so is taking the wrong step on this play.
Yep.
Well, if I don't know, if I'm not versed enough to help on another part of the ball, then that's bad on my part. You know, that's bad for me.
You know, now that brings back a lot of memories for both of us.
Yeah, it does.
That's where it comes where Steve Savarese comes down and says, he's blocking the wrong guy. Do I need to do your job?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah, believe me. I've heard it.
How many times have we heard that?
Gosh, almighty. Mark, what are you doing? What are you doing? Are you up in the press box eating chicken?
That's funny. But, boy, we love him.
I'll tell you what Steve did. Now, Steve was another one. Well, he would take us in the spring.
Yeah, I coached running, another position.
I coached running backs.
Yep.
But in the springtime, I coached O-line.
Yeah.
And really helped me learn, you know, because to me, offensive line and secondary, two key positions on the field. You got to be able to have your best guys there.
It's kind of funny. His first year at Daphne, I'm coaching the offensive line. When season changes, we go into the off season, and then we get to spring. I'm the head manager.
Did you learn how to do this? God.
And he was dead serious for 2 days. And then he finally said,
nothing makes him happier.
No.
Nothing makes him happier.
He loves to prank you.
Gosh.
I love it. You're the head manager.
You know, if he'd have been born 40 years later, like if he was young right now,
right,
and he'd have those pranks and TikTok prank things going, it'd be a never-ending saga.
I swear.
Never-ending.
Anyway,
you know, but those things, that's what they did at Leroy. They were able, he was able to change gears. And he's got to turn over the defense to somebody.
Yeah.
And so somebody's got to – and those guys never missed a beat.
Didn't miss a beat.
They just kept going, and kudos to them. And I tell you what, I need to change gears and talk about Montgomery Catholic.
Absolutely.
Holy, 9 shutouts? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Kirk, 9 shutouts?
Kirk Johnson, an old Huntington grad. Another one that we're proud of from Huntington. And,
man, he's done a fantastic job since Aubrey left. Several years back, and he took over at that time, and he didn't even want to take it.
No.
He really didn't want it. And But I think he's kind of fallen into it and learned, you know, how much he enjoys what he's doing, and he's done a fantastic job there.
He has done a great job.
And we're so happy for them. And I was so happy to see Realtown back in the state championship. Been a couple of years.
Well,
and I remember those. I remember going down to watch – Realtown play Hazelwood at Realtown when the Good boys, Jackie O'Neill's Realtown team, and then Hazelwood comes in with the Goods, and I mean, you talk about a football game. It was played that night in Realtown, Alabama, and it was a lot of fun to watch those kids play and watch those coaches coach, and it was so much fun.
You know, that's funny, too, that you mentioned that, because if you've never been to a Realtown high school football game,
you need
campus,
to go.
Or you down in the Wiregrass, you go to Slocum and watch the Red Tops play.
Yep.
I mean, you talk about, or you go to Childersburg.
Yeah.
And you watch the Childersburg Tigers play on the field where the baseball field where Johnny Simmons, who later played safety at Auburn and was on the punt Bama punt team, where he hit baseballs not only out of the baseball stadium, but out of the football stadium.
That's right.
I mean, you got to go to places like that.
You do.
And that's something I look forward to in retirement. I want to find some of those place that Mr. Washburn sent. No, one Mr. Washburn, Bubba Scott sent me up right outside in Walker County. What is the name of that?
Cordova.
Cordova. That's exactly
Cordova.
Right. Oh, my goodness.
I watched Bobby Overton go to state championship game in Cordova over there. Never forget that. B.B. Comer, Cordova.
Yep. Mark, I'm going to slide out of here.
All right, buddy.
I'm going to go play in a golf tournament.
Go play.
But you got Paul Benefield coming up.
Paul Benefield, a great segment.
Have a great last 30 minutes. Love you, pal.
Love you too, bud.
See you soon.
See you, man.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Alpha Insurance. Now, back to your host, Randy Bergen.
Well, I'm not Randy Bergen. I'm Mark Lassiter here on the Prep Sports Report this morning. And we have a coach on our on the line with us this morning, a friend of mine that I've gotten to know over the last few years, head football coach at the state champion Fife football team there in Fife, Alabama, Coach Paul Benefield. Coach, how are you this morning?
Good morning. It's not too bright and shiny. We got a little rain and fog here in Fife.
That's all right. It's pretty shiny in your wherever you are inside your head, I'm sure.
Exactly right. It's sun to shine. It's got to be.
Coach, congratulations on a great season. I mean, y'all started off with a loss, and then you guys kind of regrouped it after that and took off. And man, I tell you, I watched the whole game, and I'm going to ask you a couple questions here in a minute. But just tell us a little bit about your football team, Coach.
Well, I started four freshmen yesterday on offense and defense, and sometimes we had five in the game and a 10th grader on. So I really felt like next year we'd be so much better, and I wasn't really expecting this year at all. I've never been very smart enough to figure out, I guess, when we're going to grow up. You never, just never know, you know, injuries can affect your season.
But, right.
We got Logan helped here. He was first week, he was 8 months out of his knee surgery, you know, and just, you know, not in top form then, of course. You wouldn't expect him to be, and I didn't. I didn't really expect him to play that first few games. But he's a tough kid and done his rehab, you know, really well and got back on the field. But I think it's about the fifth game before he really just took off and got back to his real self.
You know, I was watching him play yesterday. Number 24, as we were talking about, if you guys have watched the game, Logan Anderson was a running back. I think he rushed for 250 or 260-something yards and four touchdowns, played defense, played on kicking game, all special teams, and he never came off the field. But he's one of those kids, you know, when you look at him, I have a kind of a picture in my head of what a Fife football player looks like, and he's kind of that guy. You know, he's that guy. You know, you have that vision, and he is that guy because there's nothing showboaty. There's nothing clowny. There's nothing, you know, bring me attention. He lines up and plays every play like it's going to be the last one he ever plays, and that becomes very difficult on a defense late in the ball game.
Yeah, we get him a little rest occasionally on defense, but and then I got Tucker Wilkes, who's the same type of kid. Both of them are juniors, and then Simon Hicks, too, is a junior, and them three there has really been, you know, the backbone of our team this year, and all of them are like that. They never come off the field. Logan actually gets to rest longer than them others, but Tucker Wilkes, you know, plays defensive. He plays nose guard. You might not ever know he's around, but you do if you watch the game. And he's disrupting things in the middle and then blocking, and then he snaps on punts and covers punts wide open and kick off. He's just a super kid, and, you know, that those type of guys right there can take you a long way, as they prove.
That's right. Coach, let me ask you a question. One of the things I get asked a lot when I bring up, because I talk about y'all's football program and what y'all been able to do over the years, seven state championships. Regardless whether you win it or not, you guys are always competitive. But a lot of people ask me, say, what is that offense that they run? What is that called? And I kind of, you know, I kind of look at it and I go, well, it's kind of a power single wing slash part wing T type, but it's power football. And I mean, yeah. And it's a thing of beauty when it's rolling, Coach.
It's ugly. Some people, we call it the ugly eagle up here. And, I don't know why, but Coach Tim Murphy out in California, I run across him about 11 years ago at a clinic, and he did the double wing under center, and I didn't really want to go that route. I had some good tailbacks coming then, and I wanted something either run the eye or get in something where I could go any direction with that good back. And he told me about that. He had moved from under center to shotgun, and just we're toe-to-toe on the line, and I mean, we have 10,000 formations like everybody, but we don't run many plays. But it's just been really good to us because it requires a disciplined kid that we'll put a high on discipline here and hard work and strength, and we're not going to have many college recruiters beating the door down here at Fife. We have a few kids every once in a while that get a chance to go play in four-year colleges. But it's just been really good to us, and it's I don't know. I was thinking everybody spreads out more and more and more. I'm going to get closer together. just make it a big fight out in the middle of the field, and best man wins.
That's right. It is one of those games where you could probably, you know, play it under a flashlight, and that'd be the only light you need, because everybody's right there condensed together. But I'm telling you what it is, and I was watching it as the game progressed, and, you know, Real Town came out there, and they went toe-to-toe with you for as long as they could. You know, they got a tough little old bunch, and that's a tradition-steep program in and of itself. You know, I think as the game progressed, I think the offensive line and your backs, the way they run their offense, I think it just beats you down to where, you know, that when he's hitting in there early in the game and it's 3 yards, maybe four, on an off tackle play in the fourth quarter, it becomes seven or eight, and that looks like it just beats the will out of you. That's kind of what I saw, Coach. Tell us a little bit about that.
That's you summed it up pretty good right there. I did not know when I started running it 11 years ago that it was going to do that. I wished I was smart enough to say that. I knew that, but no, I didn't. When we started running it, and I got the first year, I got to notice, and, you know, we had some games close at halftime. And then first two or three years, I just know after halftime, it just seems like, you know, we just take over the game. And like a beat down, like you say, I guess they're not used to it. I can't simulate all that spread pace and stuff, and I guess they can't simulate what we do. So
that's right.
It's just it's fit us, fit the mentality of us kids, and they bought into it. And, I don't know what it's amazing. So I just didn't expect us to really go the depth we did this year with four night cutters out there playing.
That's right. So the future looks great for Fife football. And tell us a little bit about what happens now. I know you guys are going to take a little time off, and Christmas is coming up. But what do y'all do when you roll into January and you're off season? Kind of what's y'all's game plan? I know a lot of those kids be playing other sports.
Well, we're going to give them some time off, of course, and need some time off, and I guess now that school's going to be out next week anyway, so I'll give them all. You know, we'll start back up in January and do the same old stuff and try to get a little stronger, a little faster, and a little bigger. Hopefully a little bigger, a lot bigger. if it's muscle, I'm not much big on nothing, putting on weight unless it's muscle.
That's right. That's exactly right. Coach, I appreciate you, man. I don't want to keep you anymore. I know you're probably tired and ready to just take a few days off, but I appreciate you and what you teach your kids and how you teach it. And it's the man that you are, and we appreciate you for taking some time out to join us this morning, and congratulations on the state championship, Coach Benefield.
Well, I appreciate it, Coach. I'm glad y'all called. Good to talk to you.
All right, buddy. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.
You too. I'll see you.
That was Coach Paul Benefield joining us this morning with his Fife Red Devils playing up there in the state championship in Birmingham. And, I mean, it was just one of those games where they just continued to play and played hard throughout the ball game. And, you know, their offense is one of those. It's a two tight end, full house backfield, and they just run the ball right at you. They just run it relentlessly right at you. A couple of little double handoffs. I think they have one double handoff play, and the rest of it's, you know, a little counter and just power football right at you. Doug Vickery at Flomaton runs a similar offense, and I tell you what, it is very difficult to defend because they're going to put those big bodies in there and just bang those bodies at you over and over and over again until you can't, until you don't want to see it anymore. But congratulations to Fife High School. Let me run down the scores again for the state champions for this year. In 1A, Leroy, 28. Coosa Christian, 21. Fife in 2A, Fife, 43. Realtown, 24. In 3A, we had Ronnie Cotterlong with us a little earlier. Mobile Christian, 55. Madison Academy, 28. In 4A, we had Montgomery Catholic winning 35-0 over a very good Cherokee County team that kind of came into the championship game a little bit nicked up. And, of course, they were playing one of the best defenses in the state from Montgomery Catholic. Montgomery Catholic's defense pitched 9 shutouts this year. 9 shutouts. That's unbelievable. In 5A, Gulf Shores, 21, Ramsey, 14, Clay Chalkville, 31, Saraland, 28, in one of the best 6A football games I've ever been able to watch, and watched some tremendous football players out there last night. In 7A, Central Phoenix City, 21, and Thompson, 19, and again, some of the best football players in the state on the field. A lot of fun to watch. A bunch of these guys will be playing at Alabama and Auburn and LSU, Mississippi State in the near future. So we look forward to watching that happen. We'll come back with our last segment of the day, the Grace segment, and I hope you'll join us for that. This is the Prep Sports Report.
This segment of the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Camp Grace. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Camp Grace is located in West Mobile as the summer home of Camp Rapahope, Camp Mash, Camp Smile, and Camp Sugar Falls, as well as the home of Outback Mobile, and is shared by many other community organizations throughout the Mobile area. Camp Grace is a place where God's love is bestowed freely upon others, the true definition of God's grace.
You know, this morning as we wrap up the Prep Sports Report with the Grace segment, was something I read the other day that we received from 68 Ventures and Warrior 360 that I thought I would share with you today. A scientist divided a pond in half with a pane of glass, then he filled both sides of the pond with fish. For the first few days, fish on both sides bumped into the pane of glass constantly. In time, the fish learned that the pane was impassable and avoided it entirely. Then the scientist removed the pane of glass. The fish were now free to swim the entire length of the pond, but none of them did. They had learned their lesson too well. Those fish grew old and died, never knowing the barrier they based their lives around had been removed years ago. As with fish, so is it with men. We look at our lives and see three things: the place we are now, the place we want to be, and the wall dividing them. Maddeningly, the wall is translucent. We can see through to the other side, imagining how better our lives could be if we were only strong enough, smart enough, bold enough. And so we live out our days swimming slow circles, resigned to our shrunken kingdoms. You swear the wall is a foot thick and bulletproof, but in truth it's precariously thin, like a skein of ice on a puddle. All you must do is turn your head, move forward, thinning slowly toward what you desire. The wall dissolves as soon as you put your nose to it. Anything about your life can be changed. Your body, your art, your business, your marriage, your legacy, all can be reborn instantly at any moment. Everything is hanging in the balance. You are always just one choice away. We are all just one choice away. You have a choice to push through, to continue your journey, and to be the example and not be defined by limitations, fear, or self-doubt. People are pulling for you. I am pulling for you. And most importantly, you should be pulling for yourself. Go be the leader you want others to see. As I read that story, I thought about football teams I watched over the weekend, volleyball teams I saw play in the state championships, kids on a wrestling mat that I've watched wrestle over this last week or played in a basketball game, or kids that I'll watch run track this spring, play golf this spring. And each of them has a unique chance to make a choice or cower down to their circumstances. We have those choices in our own lives every day. I have that choice when I wake up every morning. Do I make a choice to move forward and live boldly, or do I fall back and live in the circumstances I already live in, swimming in the small pond that I swim in? Or am I bold enough to step forward? You know, God gave us an opportunity to make choices in our lives. He gives us, all of us, that choice of free will. Now, we learn things that teaches us how we do this and how we do that. But there's always that free will. There's a way for us to look with our free will and say, what if I did this? What if I took a chance on that? Rick talked about this earlier when he was talking about be bold. It's the same thing. It's all relative in what we do in our life. Be bold. Step out there on the edge. Don't just swim in half the pond. Swim in the entire pond. Swim all the way through it. Go through that little sheen of ice. Break through it. Go through. Go boldly forth. Step out there on the edge. Be a leader. Be a person that you want to be. Those are the things I have to tell myself every day. I'm not trying to tell any of you how to live your life. That's the last thing on earth I ever want to do. But I can tell you what I try to do and what I've tried to do in my life. Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. Every day that I wake up, I need to get up, first of all, and thank God that I'm awake, that I'm breathing, I have my health, and I can walk into the kitchen and get me a cup of coffee. It's a pretty good start to the day. Then I have the opportunity to live that day doing what I love to do, which is be around kids, be around other people who love being around kids, and try to do the very best I can to teach them life through sport. That's what this is all about. As you watch that game, as I was talking to Coach Benefield, I was thinking about the Fife game against Realtown, where Realtown's coaches are encouraging their kids to fight against that team that's trying to break their will. I don't think they ever broke it. It bent some. They never quite broke it. That's a lesson that they'll teach years from now. Coach Benefield will teach his guys. We keep moving forward. We keep pushing out there. We keep doing it over and over until we get it right. And that will take you through life when you're in college, when you're in the workforce, when you're married, when you have kids. You keep moving forward. You keep doing the very best that you can to take your choices and move them forward. Or do you just live in the circumstance? Well, we're just going to stand here and take this beating. We're just going to stand here and take it. Or are you going to continually rise up and hit it in the mouth and fight back? Is that what you're going to do? Which one are you going to do? I have to ask myself that question every day. Every day. I also have to be smart enough to ask for help when I can't make that decision or when I'm not sure what I'm going to do or how to do it. I've got to ask for help from people who I know can help me. Sometimes it's not easy. But for the most part, as we go through our days, we realize that there are people there to help us make the right choice, help us to get out of our circumstances, to be bold. In the first place, I have to go every day is God. I hope you guys have enjoyed the show this morning. We're talking about state champions. We appreciate folks here at Glen Lakes letting us come down here, David Musial at the Glen Lakes Country Club, and do our show from here. We hope all of you out there have a wonderful, wonderful week, and we look forward to seeing you again this time next week on the Prep Sports Report.